You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. If you're headed into the outdoor, whatever you're at, whatever you love to do, whether it's fishing, kayaking, hunting, hiking, even grilling, Jack's can help you out. They've got stores up and down the Front Range. If you've never been in one, stop and check it out before you make your next adventure into the outdoors. Let's go to the phones. And joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Travis Beam. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, Terry.
Travis, I kind of teased a little bit in the opening of the show about invasive species, the fact and what we're going to talk about. Before we even get into it, I think that almost everybody that has a boat is pretty familiar with these inspections you have to go through before you go on the water. Are they working? Give us an update. And what's the status of Colorado right now with the mussels especially?
You know, Terry, the program is working. As of right now, we are free of mussels in the state of Colorado. So that is definitely a good thing, considering, you know, states around us do have mussel populations. So right now, Colorado is clean and clear.
Well, you know, and that's so important because as a state that's an arid state, as we're finding out on the West Slope this year, we have limited surface water available for recreation. And a lot of states in like California and even some out east have been shutting bodies of water down because of mussel infestations. Infestations. Easy for me to see on a Saturday morning. But anyway, we've seen the mussels because what they can do to the infrastructure and the water. And I think a lot of people don't understand that Parks and Wildlife doesn't own the water we recreate on in all but maybe a very few cases, that it's owned by the water rights people. And they're going to protect their property and their income, and they'll shut them down to use if we have fear. And that's why the inspection has been so important and the fact that it has kept us clean. What kind of numbers are we seeing out there for mussels? I mean, we're inspecting boats. Are we finding boats coming in that are infected?
Absolutely. We are. It's actually been a record year for us this year. So we're at, as of the day, 115 mussel boats that we have intercepted coming into the state. And so just for some reference, you know, last year, all of last year, we had 100 mussel boats for the year. And we're at July 24th, and we've already had 115. So we are smashing last year's record.
Now, we even have a little less boating this year, according to the inspection numbers. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we are down about 30% across the state. Last year was an anomaly, just given that the COVID and everybody trying to get outdoors just to get some fresh air. So a lot of people have been boating. So this year, you know, it's down. But just for people, just for reference, if people were to leave the state, some of the things that they can do to make it easier on them and us both is just make sure that their boat is clean, drained, and dry. So that means, you know, all the water is off of there, so no water, no mud, no plants, and no animals. Then the inspection process is going to go much easier for them, and it's going to make our lives a lot easier as well.
Is there a particular area where you just see a lot of boats coming in that we have to really be cautious of?
Yeah, I would say the sea strainer, which is a filter that filters water going into the engines and the ballast tanks on certain boats. Those filters keep out sticks and debris from getting in there. But when they go to a place like, say, Lake Powell, where the mussel population is just booming, and there's so many dead mussels floating around. Those things get sucked up in those strainers, and we catch a lot of mussels that way.
So you have more trouble with inboard outboards than you do with outboard motors?
You know, I would say inboard motors are the biggest, but this year we've been seeing fishing boats coming back with mussels on there. And typically, those are dead mussels, but of course, we don't want those mussels falling off at the boat ramp at one of our lakes, and then somebody finding those and puts everything into a tailspin.
Now, you mentioned Lake Powell. It's really been notorious for the mussels that have built up there. Lake Powell is going down. Are we seeing a bigger influx of boats coming from Lake Powell? Is that attributing to this higher number of positive inspections?
Yeah, I believe so. So, you know, people were having to get their boats off of Lake Powell, and, you know, or people are trying to get their one last Lake Powell trip in for the year. So they're going down there for the weekend. It is a gorgeous reservoir. I don't blame them one bit. But when they come back, you know, if they just get all that debris and all that sand and everything out of their watercraft, then it makes it a lot easier.
And pretty much the clean, drain, dry is pretty much just the mantra, isn't it? I mean, if you take those steps, you're probably going to be okay when you come to the inspection, but they're still going to look, you know, closely at you. And what happens if I show up at Cherry Creek Reservoir and they find mussels? What's the process?
So we go through what's called a full decontamination at that point. We're trying to sterilize any water that may be aboard. If you have life jackets that have been soaked in the water, that larval stage of those mussels, it's microscopic, so you can't see it with the naked eye. So we're just trying to do the best that we can to make sure that everything is sterilized and clean. So we're trying to get the dirt off of there and the mud off of the anchors, any kind of plants or anything. So we're going to go through that boat and just sterilize it with hot water. You know, we use no chemicals or anything like that. It's just strictly hot water.
And now, a lot of people, of course, you know, most of the time you don't have to go through that process. And people are finding out if you use the process properly, it's really efficient. Like, I go to the lakes around my area, Horsetooth and Boyd. I don't usually take my boat out of state, although it can happen. But usually, like, I'll go to Horsetooth or Boyd. They put that seal on my boat and give me a receipt. So the next time I come back, really, it's just so quick and painless. I hand them the receipt, they ask me a couple questions and cut the seal off, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is essentially the golden ticket for boating in Colorado. That green seal is proof of prior inspection. And so when you show up to the next lake, they're going to ask for that receipt. They're going to cut the seal, ask about live aquatic bait, and then you're going to go on about your day and hopefully get into some fish.
Now, a couple other things real quick before we run out of time. I know next year the state is planning on possibly doing a pilot program to check boats as they enter the state, kind of like Wyoming does. Is that right?
Yes. So we're going to do a pilot program next year on I-70 out west of Grand Junction. So the goal is to catch boats coming into the state and hopefully relieve some of that pressure of these boats showing up to boat ramps. And so that's going to be a pilot program next year. It's going to be 3 to 4 days. We don't have any dates solidified yet, but it'll be sometime next summer. So there's a lot of details that we have to hammer out still.
Now, my next guest is going to talk about high country fly fishing. And I know he'll be interested in this next topic. And that's the fact we have seen a little increase in the mud snails, haven't we?
We have. Yeah, we are finding populations throughout the state. And, you know, as far as that goes, it's kind of the same process as far as the boats go. If people just clean their gear off, you know, take a boot brush to your wading boots. You know, personally, I would recommend going with a rubber sole wading boot as opposed to the old felt sole. Those felt soles are just able to pick up so much more stuff and much harder to clean. So, you know, just a boot brush is plenty. And we're actually in the process of getting some boot brush stations and boot cleaning stations built so we can put those out at fly shops and river accesses across the state. So we're making that happen right now.
And has it been a major increase or just enough that we're concerned that we really want to make sure the message is out there?
More so that we just want to make sure that the message is out there. You know, these things, they're very tiny, so they can be spread around through the laces of the boots or, you know, even from the paw pads of a dog or something. So we just want to make sure that we get the message out there to make sure that you clean your gear off after you go to the river or before you go to the river. Just brush those boots off.
All right. A lot of great information. Travis, we just want to make sure we have limited resources. We want to make sure they're available. If everybody cooperates, we can still have fun and keep the invasive species out of Colorado. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Terry.
You bet. Travis Beam from Parks and Wildlife. We'll take a quick time out. And author and accomplished fly fisherman Steve Schweitzer is going to join us. And we're going to talk high mountain fly fishing and getting away from the crowds and the heat on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.